Okay, we're going to call the Joint Education Committee meeting to order. Today is Monday, March 28th. The time is 8 o'clock. I want to welcome everybody. Appreciate you being here on a Monday morning. With us on the Senate side this morning is Co-Chairman Thomas, Senator Stevens, Senator Davis, Senator French, myself, Senator Meyer, and I will let Representative Dick introduce the House members.
Thank you. We have with us Representative Wilson, Representative Seat, and Representative Pruitt, and myself, Chairman Alan Dick, and absent at this point of Feige, Kawasaki, and Cisno.
Okay, very good. I'm sure they'll be showing up as we progress. Is there any business to come before the committee before we get started with our joint committee hearing? If not, then today the joint committee will hear from the governor's nominees for the following positions: Board of Education, Early Development, Professional Teaching Practices Commission, and the Board of Regents. All members should have packets, resumes of all the candidates. And before we get started with the nominees, we'll start with the State Board of Education and Early Development. Of course, this board is composed of seven members appointed by the governor, one representing each judicial district, three at large, and at least one representing a regional education attendance area. The term is for 5 years. The board regulates public elementary secondary education in Alaska, regulates the state library, museums, and archives. The board also appoints the Commissioner of Education and Early Development with the approval of the governor. Also approves the department's budget, establishes statewide goals for education, requires each school district governing body to adopt goals, and may adopt bylaws for the management of the department. Additionally, the board serves as the governing board for Mount Edgecombe High School. So, very important board. And the first nominee is Mr. Shire. Mr. Shire, if you want to join us, please. He's our first nominee, for the Board of Education Early Development. Mr. Shire was originally appointed March 1st, 2007, and was reappointed by the governor as of March 1st of this year. Mr. Shire, welcome to the committee. Again, if you could, for the record, put your name and affiliation on the record, and why you're interested in being reappointed to the State Board of Education Early Development. Mr.
Chairman, committee members, thank you. My name is Pat Shire. I live in Juneau, Alaska. I serve or am standing for a reappointment to the first judicial district position on the State Board of Education Early Development. And thank you for inviting me today to talk to you. You asked why I would want to serve in this capacity, and I can answer that it has become apparent to me through my time as a public servant at the Department of Labor, as a parent, as a fellow who has served in youth groups and capacities now at Division of Retirement Benefits, that politics is downstream from culture. And the work that you do here is, in great extent, reaction to some of the things that you see occurring in our culture. And our culture is affected mightily by the education institutions to which our children are exposed. My bride and I have been involved in educating our children in a variety of ways, in homeschool to begin with, in private school for some time, and also in the public school sphere. We were very excited when the state of Alaska got involved in supporting homeschool parents through the IDEA program with the Galena School District and then several others that followed on. And as a public administrator in my own right, I understand the weight that school administrators bear as the department promulgates and pushes out regulations that we have to comply with or ask them to comply with. Also, in talking with teachers in my last assignment on this board, I have not met one teacher who said we don't have enough regulations. We don't have enough guidance on how to conduct our classrooms and the reports that we have to prepare. And those are some concerns that I bring to the board, and in fact asked the department to launch an effort to examine all the regulations that we do have in place and see if there isn't something we could pull off the table before we push even more regulations out the door. I'm also aware that over the last several years, No Child Left Behind has, as I'll say, used up all the oxygen in the room of education. And we are now beginning to see, through the last commissioner and I think carried on through this board and the next commissioner, a focus on looking at what is right for Alaska's students. And so I, as a somewhat of an innovator and a change agent in the my assignments in the past at the Department of Labor, at my private work in the private sector in the past, and now in my assignment at just recently changed from the Division of Retirement Benefits to the Division of Enterprise Technology Services, I'm excited to ask for your confirmation to continue this work as we move forward in education in Alaska. And I'll answer any questions that folks may have.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Shire. Question, Senator Stevens?
Oh, thank you, and thank you, Mr. Shire, for your contributions to through the chair to education. And I'm a little concerned about the process we have for the appointment of the commissioner. And I guess I need to, you know, certainly that the commissioner of education is the only commissioner we do not confirm. Everyone else we confirm. So the process depends heavily on the Board of Education to be proactive and be involved in it. Could you talk about your approach to if we have to appoint a new commissioner of education, would you see it as simply a matter of appointing who the governor chooses, or would you, in fact, approach it in a more proactive way?
Having been through two such processes, I've seen a process where the board went blank slate and did not perhaps interact at all. I was fairly new on the board at that time. I don't know all the conversations that may or may not have taken place. And it was a laborious process. A lot of individuals spent a lot of time coming, talking to us, sending information to us. We pared it down to three people, and then we had follow-up conversations and sent a number of names to the governor's office before one was accepted. And it was useful for me as a new person to see that process move forward. In the most recent case, we had what I thought was a great opportunity to have some conversation with the governor's office in advance of that. And in the board, there was no time in the process most recently where the board did not understand that it had the ability to say, this isn't going to work for us, and we're going to change gears here and go out and try something else. So I'm not uncomfortable with either process. This last one was much more straightforward because there happened to be a really good candidate, a fabulous candidate, in my opinion, that whose name was discussed. But I really, in that respect, don't have concerns that either way can't be powerfully effective for the department for education.
You know, I don't have any other questions. I as I understand it, then your approach would be simply to let the governor take the lead on this.
That's probably further than what I, through the chair. Excuse me, Senator Stevens. That would be more than I intended to say, and I'm sorry if I gave you that impression. I am convinced that the process of having the board interview the person and come to a conclusion is the proper way to proceed. And if that individual came to the board because of a conversation with the governor's office, you ought to consider this person. Or if it came to the board with a green field, let's start from scratch, how do we do this anyway, let's send out some ads, that sort of thing, I think either one can produce suitable results.
Okay. Thank you. All right, thank you. Representative Seat.
Thank you. I guess I'm somewhat concerned that, you know, I guess I'm somewhat concerned that we have set up a process so that we don't have legislative confirmation to keep it out of the political process, and now we have a I'm concerned if what you're saying is basically that the state school board should do what we do in having confirmation hearings and kind of take the governor's choice and then substituting our confirmation power and then giving that to you instead of, as we have it in law, that the school board will select candidates and propose them to the governor. And I'm seeing a reversal of the process, and I'm concerned about that. So as I would you respond to that concern a little more?
To the chair, Representative Seaton, I'm not as concerned, I think, and perhaps naively so, that the most recent instance sets up a precedent for all time. I can foresee this board at some future time deciding that because of recent activities in meetings that the board has from time to time with school board officials, with local school boards, with superintendents, that the board may decide that we're just going to greenfield this and go out and see what we can get, regardless of what a sitting governor may or may not intend to do. I don't think the board and the chair would be the best one to respond to that, but in my opinion, I don't see the board feeling constrained by this last instance as a pattern for all time. I believe that there is still in place a process for vetting applicants and sending those applicants to the governor. In terms of what the legislative outlook is for that process as it stands, I'm not sure I can be helpful to you in proposing what policy change you may undertake.
Okay. Representative Dick and then Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat, I'm glad you're here. It's good. I have a statement and then a question. It recently came to my attention that there's no member of the state board that actually resides within an REAA, that Bunny Schaefer represents us, but she doesn't actually live in one. So I would ask you, all board members, to be very attentive to our needs, because although we, in terms of numbers, don't represent that many students, in terms of unique concerns, I believe we are perhaps the need more attention than any other. So I would just ask all board members to really keep your ear open to what's going on in the REAAs.
May I respond?
Sure, please.
To the chair, Representative Dick. I was born and raised in Alaska. I was born in the territory. And this is very personal to me, so bear with me if you would. I grew up in Fairbanks. My folks had a small grocery store that was located not far from a housing development that received a number of people from the villages in the winter. And there were a lot of young fellas and young gals that would come to Fairbanks to go to school at Denali Elementary, just down the street. And I would play with them in the spring, and we would just get in trouble together all over the neighborhood. And and then they would go back home when breakup occurred. It alarmed me that when I reached a certain age, and I discovered later that that age was when you could run a chainsaw without cutting yourself, these young people did not come back to town because it was too important for them to stay and help the family get along. And then the Molly Hooch decision arrived on our doorstep. And after that, I had opportunity to travel in rural Alaska as a field auditor for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, and had opportunity to stay in many villages, sleeping in the school or in the public health clinic, and seeing firsthand some of the schools and some of the culture. And I don't just mean the culture of Native Alaska, but the culture of the dynamics of that village and what was going on, where there's an election and the whole village government steps out of the way and a whole new family or group comes in, and the dynamics that that presses upon the school. I've seen schools with chain link fences and barbed wire around them to protect the facilities from the people that are going to serve and the message that sends. And I assure you that the conditions and what we are doing and in some cases failing to do, and when I say we, I mean globally. I mean not only myself and the Board of Education, Department of Education, perhaps you here in the table, the districts, the families, the local government, the Native leaders. I'm not placing blame in any one place to say if you just fix this, it'll all be well. We have a big deal to be concerned about, and so I will tell you that it is very much on my mind, and we'll take that to heart.
And follow up. Yes, at the same time, and I'm just kind of new to the scene here, but I know I've talked with a lot of the intervention districts, and there's some frustrations as they focus on the villages and the areas and trying to come up with a creative solutions. At the same time, looking in the direction of Juneau and experiencing frustration there too. Would you just give a summary of your thoughts in terms of intervention and how it's occurring and how we might improve?
Through the chair, do you have a simpler question? I'll do my best, Representative Dickey. Intervention is always a last resort. We're a local influence state where we depend heavily on the local districts and individuals who have the most at stake, really the parents and the social structure in those communities. For many, many different reasons, it may break down. And it's appropriate for the Department of Education to act as a facilitator, as a coach, rather than an enforcer, and that's kind of tough. I'll just tell you my personal. This is Pat Shire talking here, and it alarms me when I first came on the board when I say how much of the payroll in the Department of Labor or in the Department of Education is paid for by federal funds. How much of the payroll for the actual people in the department is paid by state funds? And overwhelmingly, in the magnitude of 85-90%, is paid by federal funds. I know money is tight, and I know we have a lot of needs in the state of Alaska. I wonder personally to myself how an individual who is being paid by a federal program, and they know that that's the pass-through, how well and how deeply that individual can serve the people of the state of Alaska and a federal program at the same time. Two masters has got to be a tough deal. I think they do an admirable job. And speaking with the folks involved in those intervention projects, there's a lot of white hair out there, I think, which is a good thing. A lot of experience, a lot of folks who have been superintendents, who have worked in the rural areas, who are retired now, who are a really good fit. So I appreciate that the department has been careful to select individuals who can bring a lot of value, and it's very collaborative. At the last board meeting, we saw some video even of rooms full of people from the community and some outside consultants hired by the department and some department employees laboring over plans on how to bring this district forward. The effort that we're spending, I believe, is in the right direction. It's collaborative. It's not a it's a velvet hammer, I guess you might say. There has to be accountability. Things that can be done to help the elders in the community take ownership. How we can encourage the district leadership to see its role in a more I guess holistic light, not just running a school, but also being part of the community. That's time well spent, and I believe that the department is headed in the right direction.
Okay, very good. Let's go on to the next question, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat, I from the other questions that were asked and your answer, I feel pretty comfortable the fact that I think what I heard you say was the fact that the board didn't look anywhere else for another person as commissioner because you were so happy with the person that the governor presented. I think that's what I heard you say. And also that if the next time somebody was presented to you that you didn't like, that you would definitely go out and check and for yourselves and see if you could find someone different. I hope that that's the message that I heard, because I'm happy about
yes,
that.
It is.
There is a perception when you don't at least kind of check things out for yourselves, and then, you know, and I think it's the perception that sometimes perceptions aren't always right, but perceptions are true if people think those things. So a word of caution maybe next time. We do have a lot of problems with our school system in Alaska. From what I hear, though, every state is having some of the same problems, although a little bit different than ours. I'm very concerned that we're graduating kids that have to take remedial classes when they get to college. That's definitely not acceptable, and it causes legislators to say, well, we keep giving money, but they're not improving. So, you know, although if we search, we can find a lot of good things that are happening out there in education. So it's a tough job that you do have. And how does the board and how do you think that your being on the board helps to kind of ferret out some of the things that are happening and try to decide what needs to be done, and do you think your voice adds to that discussion? Kind of go into that a little bit.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, that's the kind of question that that was a fun one for me. People who work with me learn to fear when they hear me say, what would happen if? Is that way of speaking can be a less threatening way to talk about innovation. Let me share an example that is just thrilling to me, not only as a parent, but to see the effects over better than a decade now of something that was an answer to a few parents who really loved a couple of teachers who moved out of their district and really wanted them to serve their students and them as they serve their own children. And it created an opportunity to educate with state assistance children across district boundaries. From just a few students at the beginning, it showed up as the IDEA program. I believe that was the first wholesale interior distance education. I can't remember what the A stands for. But something remarkable happened. Where one district saw a need, stepped in to fill that need, and filled it in a way that not all districts could. I don't know if you're aware that there are very relatively few districts that have a distance education reach. But all of a sudden, these homeschool programs started popping up in what we call the brick and mortars. Before then, if you went to the local school district, and they shall remain nameless, because I believe, again, they were not trying to be nefarious or not responsive to their students. They just got a lot going on. And so when parents would come to a local district and say, please help me do something different, the classroom isn't working for my student, you would often get a stack of books that were the same as those presented in the classroom, the ones that may have been producing the difficulty in the first place for this student, and told good luck. Some were a little more sensitive than that. But these statewide programs had the effect of having other local districts look in upon themselves and say, wait a minute, lots of students are leaving us to go to these other districts. How are we failing? How can we meet their needs? And in the ensuing years, many charter schools that are aimed at alternative delivery methods to help parents meet their own students' needs, it was a very effective R&D that produced great results. And some of the material I handed out, you may or may not have seen this circulate around yet to you. I gave as many as I had left over. It's called Homeschooling on the Threshold. There are lots of bibliographies in the back and where the research took place to show that as a model for some students, not all, this is a great way to go. Not only that, it tells us that high-quality teachers are one of the single best indicators for student success in a classroom. But outside the classroom, you have lots of options that show really great success. Teacher certification was not a correlation with student success in the homeschool environment. So I've seen that and having operated in that, and as an innovator, I'd love to ask, what would happen if? What would happen if we delivered high-quality teacher education over distance? When I was at the Department of Labor, we arranged for both a state, federal, and industry grant to deliver training in the hospitality industry to rural students, with the idea that when they became 18, they would apply online and show up at McKinley Park to be authentic Alaskans, greeting visitors to our state. With all due respect, I don't think folks come here to meet Svetlana and Yuri when they step off the bus at McKinley Park. McKinley Park was key because it's semi-rural. It has dormitories. The industry agreed to set aside not only the dormitory space, but also parents from the villages to come in and be naturals. So all that to say, I'm definitely thinking all the time about innovations, about ways that we can do things a little bit differently. That is something the chair will tell you, can't get the guy to shut up, much like now. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I think we do need to answer the questions a little more succinctly. We can. We have a few more candidates to get through, but we do have one more question, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, sorry.
I need that here probably.
Yeah.
And here you are 50 years later still getting in trouble. So I would also like to add my name to the list of those that were a little unsettled with the process for the selection of the commissioner. But my question is more to the issue. You mentioned that that there was concern about regulations potentially, and that had been referred to the department to take a look at it. I would hope that you would make recommendations to the department of the ones that you would like to see reviewed, rather than just ask them to take a look, for the same reason that you mentioned the concept that if they're being paid and serving two masters, how does that work as far as what one takes into. So just briefly, anyhow, if you might consider, and it may be more a statement than a question, even the idea that you make recommendations rather than just ask them to take a look at various regulations. So, like I said, a comment maybe rather than a question.
Okay, thank you, Senator Thompson. Okay, well, if there's no more questions,
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Representative C.
Thank you. Could I ask one more?
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. The Education Committee, at least on the House side, has been very impressed with some of the theme-based education and the results that are coming out of that, and we've looked for student engagement, as we've identified that as one of the primary things that is having dropout rates and all. And yet we in the legislature are having a hard time wrestling with how we impact that. How does your view of the ability of the state school board to impact that, or do you feel that that's a local decision and you're going to leave that up to the school districts themselves?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton. It is a local decision. However, I can tell you that we've had before the board some of the Risk Reinventing Schools Coalition schools before the board on several occasions, and encourage them by approving waivers that they need in order to fit into our current structure of rules and regulations that don't fit the risk model. we are very interested in those opportunities and are committed to doing what we can to, from our point of view, to make that possible for them to innovate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right. There's no other questions? Yes, Senator Davis.
Mr. Chairman, just one brief question, please.
Sure.
Could you tell me how long you've served on the school board? Do you start in 07 or did you serve before that time?
Through the chair.
On this Board of Education.
Senator Davis, on this Board of Education, I started in 07.
That was your first appointment?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, very good. Okay, seeing that there's no other questions at this time, unless there's an objection, the joint Senate House Education Committee will forward Mr. Shire's name onto the next joint session of the legislature for consideration. But, you know, keep in mind, as a reminder, this does not reflect any interest of any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the nominee during the future joint session. So if there's no objection, we will go ahead and forward Mr. Shire's name at this time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Were these parting gifts by any chance?
Yeah, I don't think so. Thank you. Good try, though. Okay, so next we're going to hear the nominees for the professional teaching practices. This commission is comprised of 9 members appointed, again, by the governor. As follows, they must actively engage in teaching profession for 5 years immediately preceding the appointment. There must be 5 classroom teachers, 1 principal, 1 superintendent, 1 department rep, 1 higher education rep, and all of the appointees must have been selected from respective associations. The term is for 3 years. The commission develops the criteria of professional practices in the areas of ethics, performance, professional services, contractual obligations. It holds hearings to judge, sanction educators not meeting standards established by the commission. It may suspend or revoke certificates of educators based on reasons set out in statute. So our first nominee, I believe, is going to be online from Kenai, Stephen Atwater, who and this will be his first appointment to the commission. Mr. Atwater, are you online, sir?
Yeah, good morning, Chair. I am indeed.
Okay, very good. If you could, please, for the record, give us your name and why you're interested in serving on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission.
Hey, Mr. Chair, good morning from sunny Soldotna. My name is Steve Atwater. I'm the superintendent for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and my interest in serving on the commission stems from my experience within the state. This is more than 20 years within education in the state. I feel very anxious and able to serve at the state level. I also want to help the commission to educate educators across the state with some of the issues that the PTPC deals with. I think that one of the things that we can look to improve on is to help people avoid some of the circumstances that the PTPC deals with. So I'm honored to serve on behalf of the superintendents, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right, very good. Any questions for Mr. Atwater? Senator Stevens.
Oh, just a comment. Steve, as Dr. Atwater, has shown great taste in his residency in Alaska. He's always stayed since, I think, 97 in Senate District R. So I'm congratulations, Steve.
Thank you.
We won't hold that against you, Steve. Okay, Representative Wilson.
Thank you. Dr. Atwater, could you tell us why you're interested in this position?
As I stated, I've been in education in Alaska for over 20 years, and I feel I'm at a point now where I can give back to the state, and I'd like to serve at that level. And I also feel that I have a good understanding of education in Alaska. I've worked in several rural districts, and now I'm in Kenai, which is not necessarily urban, but certainly much larger than the rural district. So I think I have a good grasp for the education in the state, and we'll do a good job representing the superintendents that way.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing, hearing none, then Mr. Atwater's name will be forwarded on from the Senate and House Education Committee to the next joint session of the legislature for consideration. And again, this, as a reminder, this does not reflect the intent of any of the members to vote for or against his confirmation during the joint legislative session. Okay, the next nominee for commission is Richard Lum. I believe Richard is here with us today. If you could please join us. This is his second appointment to the commission. His first appointment was in January 2008. Mr. Lund, welcome to the Joint Education Committee. And again, if you could, put your name on the record and tell us why you're interested in serving on this commission.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, members of the Joint Committee, my name is Richard Lund. I am a Anchorage music teacher at elementary, and I've been on the commission for the past 3 years. I look at the commission's work as ensuring the welfare of our students and also giving our educators another, as the cases come up to us, another agency for scrutiny that the cases are done and dealt with properly. And I look forward, I have almost 30 years in the military, expertise and experience in ethics, and like to continue using that expertise to serve the community and people of our state.
Okay, very good. Appreciate those comments. Questions for Mr. Lund? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If there were one thing in the entire realm of education that you could change, and just one, that was your only opportunity, what would that be?
That all educators do the right thing.
Cause them to have to do the right thing? Okay. Thank you.
Representative Dick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your experience, would you just give me an example of maybe one of the more challenging decisions you've had to make when it comes to, weighing out the issues that come in front of you? Just give me an example so I can get my head around that.
Are you asking as a member of the commission or in the course of my professional life, even in the military?
Just as part of the commission.
Part of the commission. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we have cases that come to us that we know the individuals because they come from our constituent groups. And, of course, we know as commissioners that we have the opportunity to recuse. And so as we sit there deciding whether we're going to recuse or not, there have been times that I know of the cases and would like to give input so that the case can be disposed properly and fairly for all the parties. But I know that I needed to recuse myself for the sake of possible conflict.
And for the record, could we show that Representative Feige is here?
Okay. Welcome, Representative Feige. Questions? Other questions for Mr. Lund? Peggy? Look like very quick. Okay. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, thank you for joining us today.
And, thank you very much.
Continue the good work there in our schools. Thanks. Okay. Again, Mr. Lum's name will be forwarded on from this joint session to the legislature for consideration. And again, the same disclosure that this forwarding on of your name does not necessarily mean how people are going to vote. Okay, next we'll hear from nominees for the University of Alaska Board of Regents. And let's see. The Board of Regents, I think everyone knows what they do, but let me just refresh folks who may be listening. The Board of Regents is comprised of 11 members who serve an 8-year term and are appointed by the governor. The board was established by the Alaska Constitution and is responsible for the University of Alaska policy, for the University of Alaska policy and management throughout the university. The first nominee of the for the Board of Regents is Joe Heckman. Joe is also going to be joining us online. It looks like it's actually Well, I can see why they go by Joe. It's Joyosta. I'm going to let you pronounce your name, Joe. She's on teleconference. It's her first appointment. Ms. Heckman, welcome to the Joint Education Committee. And again, if you could put your name on the record for us, please, and let us know why you're interested in serving on the Board of Regents.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the Joint Committee. It is a challenging name, and that's why I go by Joe. The pronunciation is Jyotsna. The Y is silent, Jyotsna Heckman. But I can tell you that outside my family, very few people know how to say it. thank you for the opportunity, for having me this morning talk to you folks. And I am, as far as background is concerned, currently the president and CEO of Denali State Bank. Been attending some of the Board of Region meetings, the full retreat in January, the February meeting in Anchorage, and scheduled to go to some training here for the Board of Trustees. I have been in this community since 1975 and have been engaged in every aspect of this committee, community rather. Been asked a time or two to put my name in the hat for the Board of Regents, and I didn't feel that back then the timing was right for me. Some of you may know, but I am retiring from this position at the end of this year from the president CEO position for the bank. So after serving 26 years at Denali State Bank and about 32 years in banking altogether, I really don't know what my next chapter is, but it allowed me time to devote to a busy position and a responsible position like the Board of Regents, considering the eight-year term. So I threw my name in the hat, really not expecting to be selected. So I was surprised, honored, and am looking forward to the eight-year journey. And I'm available for questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Heckman. We do have a question from Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate your name being here and your willingness to serve. The University of Alaska is an open enrollment university. Most universities around the country are not. How would you defend maintaining open enrollment?
Well, Senator, I'm not too sure that I can answer your question. This is so new to me. My understanding of the university is primarily from the perspective of a student that attended university back in 75 through 79, and then to go back for my master's. I'm not really well-versed in how the functionality of the university is. And so this would be a huge learning curve for me. So I'm not too sure that I have a good answer for you, being so new to the position and to the organization itself.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your honesty. And of course, we all have a steep learning curve in this business, but glad you're willing to put your name forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Dick?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Joe, I'm also on a pretty steep learning curve here. So I'm going to turn my question maybe into a statement. But one thing, when the Commissioner Hanley sat in front of us the other not too long ago, he came up with a strategy for education here in the state, and most of the issues he brought up were straight out of the 1980s playbook. And one of the biggest issues was we need better teacher training. We need to train teachers, Alaskans, to teach in Alaskan schools. So I was wondering if you had any thoughts in that regard as to how we might be able to do that or how we might be able to emphasize that.
Sir, I will tell you that one of the things that I was recently told that our graduation rate is between 6 and 8 years. And that statement absolutely floored me. As a parent of a law school student and a parent of soon to enter college, I was very concerned with that statement, that why does it take our students to graduate in that long a time frame. Of course, I graduated in 4 years, so again, quite naively, I'm looking at my own experience and my family's experience in the tenure for college graduation. But what I'm also finding out is that the students are not prepared when they come to university. My husband is a teacher in the Catholic school here. He agrees that the students are not ready when they come to his class, junior high class. So I believe, sir, the problem actually starts quite early. It may be that we may not have, I can't say whether we have good teachers or we don't have good teachers, but I would say that I grew up in a different country. I graduated from high school from India, and the structure and the education system that I am familiar with is vastly different than what my children have experienced here. It took a lot of parental intervention on my behalf to make sure that my kids were successful in school. I believe there's a partnership between parents and teachers, but I do think that we need to put some work in getting our students ready for college. And who does that? I believe it is the teachers who do that in partnership with parents.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Senator Thomas.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Joe. As a successful and influential business person in the state of Alaska, I hear your comments about the K through 12 education process, but regarding the university, how well do you think the university is doing, and what areas do you believe may need to be shored up there a bit to produce a better product?
Well, Senator, you know, the university is going to be like any other enterprise. If you ask me the question today, well, Joe, how's your bank doing, and can it do better? My answer would be, my bank's doing just fine, but yes, we can do a lot better. I don't think that by any means my bank has arrived or the university system has arrived. It's an evolving and continuously improving process that requires a lot of parties at the table to make that system good and better. I believe that there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and student success should be the focus of our campuses, whether it's the community college or it's the larger research institution. Our customers, if I am allowed to say that, I believe are the students. So, again, being very new to this whole arena, it's hard for me to say that there are certain aspects that are working well and certain that are not, because I'm not familiar with what those are. I see lots of people that are very committed, and I've had a chance to meet with people from other campuses also, that are very committed towards student success, and I'm quite excited to be a partner in that student success. Ask me in about a year or two. I may have more definitive answers for you, more definitive and specific areas of discussion. But today I would say that, like any enterprise, we need to keep working towards making the enterprise more successful, and it has to be lots of people at the table doing that together.
Thank you. I can appreciate that approach.
Okay. Did Representative Jim follow up on that? Otherwise, I got Representative Wilson next. Do you want to make a quick comment on that?
Just quick, I want to mention that Representative Sisson is here and Representative Feige will have to leave in a couple minutes for a press conference.
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe, I really don't have as much of a question as I do a comment. I'm very happy that you're coming on and that you're kind of green. That's wonderful. I'm also very happy that you're a banker because I'm concerned that every single year the tuition goes up, and people in Alaska don't need that. Tuition is high enough, and just because the tuition goes up in the lower 48 doesn't mean we should do it in Alaska. And so as a banker, I know you can figure out other ways to work things out without increasing the tuition. And I would like to see course credits flowing back and forth and counting between campuses. I would like to see some changes in the way, as Representative Dick mentioned, in the way we teach our teachers. And many of the people that are the instructors haven't been in a classroom in years. And it might be a good time for them to get out and see a little bit of this, what reality is, Ed. It's changed a lot over the years, and it's not the same as it was even 10 years ago. So the theme teaching is something that's very exciting to me, and I think that it's time for some changes, and I hope that you think that way and forward with seeing how things are and maybe helping to make some changes. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I hope to do my best.
Okay. Very good. Representative Seaton, and then we'll go to...
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe, appreciate you putting your name forward, and we've just incorporated into bills that are going through two requirements on the university, one that they, for every degree-seeking or certificate program, that they have a mandatory advisor program, and the second is that the university identify a clear path for on-time completion for each degree or certificate. Do I understand from your testimony that you would be supportive of those two initiatives?
I would certainly be looking to get a little bit more information. This is the first time that I'm hearing of these two initiatives. But from a practical point of view, and again, as a parent, I don't know why one would not support this. My son is going to enter UAF here in this fall, and I'm glad to see the process that he has undergone. He has declared a major, and he has an advisor. In fact, we have an appointment this afternoon, and I hope you all noticed that I said we, because it's both myself and my son, because I truly believe that parents need to be engaged in student success also. So, yes, I'm glad to see that there's an initiative, and I'm glad to see that so far the process that I have personally experienced has allowed me to feel comfortable that there is a mandatory advisor component, at least from what I'm experiencing myself. As far as a clear path to getting our students to graduate in 4 years or maybe, and let me say maybe less than 8 years or less than 6 years, again, I would say that as a parent, I don't want to be paying tuition for more than 4 years, and it should be a concern to everybody. Then the system becomes ineffective if our students are not ready. So the initiative is a good one, sir. But I hope that we all recognize as bodies of people that the problem is not just at the university level, that we got to bring in students that are ready to start their college and don't have to take those remedial classes to come up to snuff and then start their four-year program. So there's more to this issue than meets the eye, and I'm looking forward to learning more about it and getting more information about it so I can properly support the initiative. Thank you, sir.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ms. Heckman. We have one more question for you, and then we'll let you go. Representative Pruitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll try to make this really quick. I just want to get an understanding of your philosophy of the university. Do you feel that as a state we have one university with basically three branches underneath it, or that we have three separate independent universities with a similar administration through the UA system overall?
I've always felt that we have a one university. We have three large campuses, lots of smaller campuses, 16, I believe. But we have one university. That's been my understanding, and that's been my thought process all along.
Thank you, Ms. Heckman.
Yes, and thank you very much, thank you very much. I guess it's Mrs. Heckman for your candidacy on the Board of Regents. And I'm one of these people in Alaska, and there's lots of us that have been actually a student at every campus, every one of the major three campuses, and fortunately have taken several courses at some of the smaller ones as well, and visited many campuses across the state. And my experience has been that each one is in a different part of the nation practically. Our state is so large and covers so much ground that each one of the places that these institutions are housed in have their own unique capabilities. One of the things, because my campus that both I represent and I am a graduate of and a constant student, is University of Anchorage, the University of Alaska Anchorage, and that school is the largest campus in the state, and yet usually has almost minor representation on the Board of Regents. And so one of the questions I would have of you is that, since in fact we have so many campuses, each one has so much strength in different areas of learning. Some are in rural areas, some are in, some of them are in distant, very distant places, and some are like Kodiak Island that's got the unique fishery. You've got the University of Alaska Southeast that is fishery oriented as well, but they're different fisheries. That's the really amazing thing, is that we've got so much talent everywhere. My campus is really the health center for Alaska. Can't get a PhD easily. I think right now you can kind of get one, but each of these campuses have strengths that are not being maximized to the degree that they could, because we don't really get the representation on the Board of Regents, and I've heard students complaining about this, that we need to have. So part of the work that needs to be done at the University of Alaska is to really broaden its arms and really bring in all of these different unique capabilities across the state that can really boost us towards really maximizing the opportunities for students everywhere. And I want to know where you stand on that.
Okay, very good. There's your question, Mrs. Heckman.
Thank you. If I understand correctly, your question primarily relates to representation on the Board of Regents. And And this was the first time that I threw my name in the hat, and my understanding was that there was a very, very large and impressive number of people who put their name in the hat. So there's opportunity from each one of those regions and areas for people to put their name in the hat and bring that representation to the Board of Regents. I don't think a regent, i.e. myself, can influence that. The position is appointed by the governor, and I'm not too sure what influence a Board of Regent member would have on representation. Again, new at it, so I may not be giving you the correct answer, but that is what my understanding is. And if representation is truly something that we all are desiring, then I believe that there are good people in every community that are willing to serve, and that's what I love about Alaska, is that people are so actively engaged, and bodies of people come together to make something successful. So if there is a representation issue, my guess would be that those capable people in those regions should stand up and throw their name in the hat. And that is the best way to get representation.
Okay. Well, very good, Ms. Heckman. And actually, I think we do have pretty good diversity on the Board of Regents. There's at least five from Anchorage, I think three from Fairbanks, two from Juneau, one from Kodiak, and there may be a couple others there that I'm forgetting. And again, you already stated this, that UC University is one college representing the whole state. So no doubt in my mind you'll do us a good job. So if there's no other questions, we'll go ahead and forward Mrs. Heckman's name again from this Joint Education Senate and House Education Committee with, again, the same disclosure. Our last nominee who is online, Michael Powers. He is also interested in serving on the Board of Regents. And I know we have gone past 9 o'clock here. I believe, Mr. Chairman, you have a demonstration at 9. Can we continue?
Let's continue. Let's wrap this one up.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very good. All right, well, like I said, this is our last one, Michael Powers. Mr. Powers, are you online, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, if you could, maybe we'll turn the volume up a little bit. But if you could give us your name and why you would like to serve on the Board of Regents.
Very good. My name is Mike Powers. I am currently the CEO at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital. I have a number of reasons that I would like to serve. First and foremost, I have a great deal of respect for the university. I originally came to Alaska in 1980 as a VISTA volunteer, spent a lot of time in Anchorage at the university, went back to Madison, Wisconsin, for a degree in health administration fellowship in Virginia, and then back to Fairbanks. And the university, in my experience in Anchorage, in Fairbanks in particular, is a vital part of the community. Incredible influence on the economics of the town, the quality of life. The professors and administrators are highly engaged in local boards. And I want to be a part of that. I think it is a vibrant, tremendous asset of the state. And just looking back on education, my family and in my own life, to be a part of a system or a process that helps lift the economy and the quality of life in Alaska would mean a great deal to me. And I now, with three children, since you're graduating from college, I now have time to give back and devote to a project like that.
Okay, very good. Mr. Powers, question? Okay, we'll go to Senator Stevens.
Just very quickly, thank you, Mr. Powers. Glad to see you have three college degrees, Bachelor of Arts, Master of Arts. Could you explain the HD from Dublin? I'm not familiar with that.
Yes, that's a higher diploma in Irish literature. I did not have to write a thesis.
Oh, thank you.
Higher diploma. Okay. Very good. Representative Sisson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Powers, I have the same question for you as I did the last candidate. And that is that in a state that we've got campuses, smaller campuses certainly, and then the three larger, but truthfully, the problem that we have throughout Alaska is not having the numbers of students attending the universities that we do in the rest of the United States. Our numbers are not good, and it's not good in terms of graduation in a timely manner as well. A lot of us went to school and got our degrees while we were working. I was one of those that always worked and went to school. And so obviously you're not going to be getting it in 4 years because you've got to come up with the money for it. But at the same time, we don't meet the timeline that students themselves are trying to set. And that's a tough thing. But also the fact that we so often have the regents actually coming, they may in fact graduate from the UAF campus, wind up in Anchorage, and then serve on the Board of Regents, or they live in Fairbanks and they're on the Board of Regents. So what we wind up having is a regents that normally do represent in a larger way that the one main campus, actually, because that's also where the University of Alaska's main office is in Fairbanks. And what it's meant to some of these smaller campuses, which sometimes are actually like Anchorage itself, don't get the kind of programs that allow it to grow in the way it must grow when, in fact, we have areas of education that really are incredibly important to the state. Fisheries is another one. And to have the regents, each regent, feel some responsibility to the state as a whole is really important to me, because oftentimes those kinds of things happen here in the state legislature, where we may come from urban Alaska, but our money comes from rural Alaska. So in my mind, I may be heart of Anchorage, but my feeling is that I represent the entire state, and I have to be working for the entire state. I'd like to know how you feel about that as a future Board of Regents.
Right. I think it's a very good question. I think I've only been to one meeting so far in February, and the single feeling I was most impressed with is the statewide thinking of that entire Board of Regents. I had heard stories of the interplay between the different campuses, but what I saw, the dynamic I saw, was truly statewide, and I was very impressed. And I think that, obviously, is how we're going to have to grow and improve as a state. One specific example is the nursing program. 10 years ago, we had a 17% vacancy rate. Most hospitals did. Went to the university. President Hamilton at the time said, we can do something about this, but we're going to have to house this in Anchorage, because that's where that real focus is in the future direction. I am perfectly, as a hospital administrator up in Fairbanks, perfectly understanding of that because of the efficiencies of scale and the value and the essentially the laboratories of Anchorage. And I think that's an example, again, where in this case the administration, obviously the regents when that program was developed, and others saw that you have to make prudent choices, and at times that means a concentration of services on one campus or another. I think the Fisher Report speaks to that as well. On this will be one of the key challenges going forward. What is that interplay between the three campuses? And then this system all to itself in the community colleges, and how do you allocate resources, programs, capital, et cetera. To sum up, I think you hit it right on the head. I think it's one of the key challenges, and I have been very impressed, even though it's only been one meeting I have attended.
Okay, very good. Any other questions, Representative Wolf?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make a comment here. First of all, Mr. Powers, is the fact that the reason that it takes so many years to graduate from the university, we found out when we had people from the university before our committee, was the fact that the courses weren't offered except at certain times. And so that was the reason that it took so long to graduate. So I definitely hope that you can take that into account and make some changes in the areas that that need to be changed. And you heard my comments for the lady before you, and so I don't need to go into that at all. Thank you very much.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Powers? Okay, seeing none, and unless there's objection, we will forward Mr. Powers' name as well from the Senate and House Education Committees for consideration with our joint legislative session, which will be coming up, I believe it's April 8th. And again, as a reminder, this does not reflect the intent of how any of us will vote once the confirmations do come up on the House-Senate floor. So this concludes our the governor's appointments for the House Senate Education Committees. Everyone, please sign the confirmation committee report. I think that the Senate has done that, so you want to do that on the House side. Representative Seed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we adjourn, I think that the committee has pretty well shown that we're having a lot of problem with the process at the State Board of Education and the commissioners' appointment, and that we've seen a diversion of the process that set out to a board being a confirmation instead of a selection process where the Commissioner of Education is aligned with the state school board to a process where they're kind of confirming the whether the qualifications are okay for that commissioner nomination. And so, you know, I think that we're left with a quandary when we go to the House floor of having people that are qualified for the state school board, but if we don't want that diversion process to go forward, we either have to vote against them, against their confirmation, because they are supporting a diversion of our process to confirmation, or we have to go into statutory change and make a legislative confirmation of that seat, which of that commissioner, which we've tried not to do in statute because we want to keep politics out of this. So I just wanted to kind of sum up what I think that I've been hearing from most members of the committee, is that there's a real problem with this track even being available as a confirmation process by the state school board instead of the selection of someone that will be aligned with the state school board, because that's what we've set up in throughout the legal process. So I just wanted to put that on the table. I don't know how I'm going to go. I definitely, have heard some good qualified people, but we have this situation that we need to somehow address. And so thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the time.
Yeah, I know, and I think that it is a concern of some of the members here on the Senate side as well. I don't know if the fix is through legislation. But again, just because we're forwarding these names on doesn't necessarily mean that's how you're going to vote it. And you do have some time. It's April 8th is what I have the tentative date to take this up in a joint session with the both bodies. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Representative Seaton has hit it right on the head. I mean, we have a better process than we're now following, and whether we can get back to the proper way of appointing a commissioner.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so as a reminder, the Senate Education Committee will meet again back in the Belts Room on Wednesday. We'll continue discussion on Senator Davis, Senator French's Senate Bill 6, which has to do with the pre-K early education programs. So we'll pick that up where we left off on Friday. And I understand the House Education Committee is going to have a demonstration now on the iPads. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the Senate's welcome to join us if you like.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I am personally, I'm free till 10, so I will stay. But I know some of the other senators do have other meetings and commitments. So with that, we will adjourn the Senate portion of the Education Committee meeting and turn the gavel back over to you, Representative Dick. Thank you for letting us participate in the confirmation hearings with you.
Okay.
Adjourned on the Senate side.
Thank you.
And the House will adjourn the confirmation hearing and reconvene in about 3 minutes.